Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. It's Thursday, May 27th, 2021, 3 minutes after the hour now on Morning Air. St. Patrick used a shamrock. You and I, every time we bless ourselves, it is the sign of the Trinity. Sunday is the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. It's a great mystery of our faith. And later in this hour, Father James Kubicki is going to be here to show us about not only our belief and our devotion to the Blessed Trinity every time we make a sign of the cross, and take a look at this mystery that we'll never completely understand on this side of eternity. And you've heard also the old saying, you are what you eat. And you know, when you eat certain things, it affects how you think, what you do, how you feel. We've got some empirical evidence to support that with Dr. Jim Schrader, who's coming up in just a couple of minutes here on Morning Air. Glenn's got a fresh story corner in this hour of the program, and we begin this brand new day in prayer and invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I suppose if we were like your local news show, you know, where they always try to scare you, we would probably say, don't eat breakfast until you hear what Dr. Jim Schrader has to say. But there's an element of truth in that, because what you eat does make your brain better. In fact, it's called the better brain, and there's real research on this. Dr. Jim Schrader is a member of our morning family, a married father of eight, a pediatric psychologist, and an endurance athlete, joining us from the Diocese of Evansville, Indiana. Good morning, Dr. Jim. What'd you have for breakfast?
Let's see. I'm eating it right now. I've got oatmeal, walnuts, blueberries, moringa. Moringa, we talk about what that is. And then cinnamon. That's my daily breakfast.
There you go. There you go. And he's already biked 36 miles this morning before just calling us here on the show.
Yeah.
But, you know, it really does. It really does. What you eat really does make your body not only function better, but you think better. You think more clearly.
It really does. The research is just amazing. And this is what this new book, The Better Brain, I really urge your listeners to consider getting it. What's great about this book is that it's really coming from the researchers. And these are actually researchers I know well and know their studies. And what's amazing, it's indicating, and I guess it shouldn't surprise us, is that the brain really depends on good nutrition. And one of the things I think this hour I want to put forth to your listeners to consider is that the science of God's design, right, and that's what we're talking about here, really indicates the fact that maybe one of the best gifts that we can give those around us is the gift of our nutrition.
Why are we so far back when it comes to nutrition in this country compared to other cultures? Is it just the abundance of junk food that's available to us at arm's reach?
Yeah, that's a really great question. How do we get this far? One thing I want to note is that back around World War II, processed food, which has certainly got kind of a negative name more recently, and we'll talk about that, was actually a good thing for people. Processed food allowed, let's say, frozen peas to be shipped across the country and, you know, go to places that you couldn't get them because of the time of year. But one of the things I think has happened to your question is that that kind of processed food, which is reasonable, has become what we call UPFs, which is ultra-processed food. And it's the kind of food like candy and some of our chips and a lot of different things where it is so available, right? That's one thing. You can get it everywhere. It's so cheap compared to everything else. And it's so good, at least when you eat it. Now, later on, it's not so good, you know, afterwards. But mm-hmm. I think that the availability, the accessibility, and just the, economy of that ultra-processed food has made it really difficult for us to resist that.
When we talk about the research now in this book called The Better Brain, Dr. Schrader, and we take a look at what we are eating right now, there is that tendency to think that quote-unquote health food doesn't taste good and it costs too much. How do we get beyond that mindset?
Yeah, that's one of the worst mindsets I think that we have. Obviously, when you go at first and you think, oh, well, certain things in the grocery, like produce, may seem like they cost more. But actually, when you get down to it and you look at how people eat, right, like how they go out, how much they go out per week to a restaurant or what the kind of foods they eat, in the end of the day, and you'll certainly have to read more in this book, eating healthy is not more expensive. You may look at it like, well, but if I buy fruit and vegetables, that's going to cost me more than the cheap cereal. But here's the thing you got to remember. The cost is not just the cost initially of what we buy. It's also the cost related to our health. It's related to, you know, lost productivity, related to lots of different things that tie into it. And the other thing about it is, and there's some really, really great recipes in this book, is that what I've discovered, and I was never, like years ago, I was not the healthy eater I am today. I've discovered that really, you really get into the food and how it can be prepared and how you can make it. There is actually a lot that's really, really good to eat that's very healthy. And I think that sometimes people feel like, oh, if I got to go healthy, I'm going to give up, you know, tasting good. But actually, the, you know, the findings and everything else that we see don't support that.
Yeah, it's just using spices, because I learned how to cook healthy several years ago, and I didn't realize what I was missing in terms of the use of spices to take food that you can get in the supermarket. By the way, one of the hints, and I'm sure you do it, you get the vegetables in the markdown. So yesterday I got in the markdown for only 59 cents a pound, the two red peppers that I stuffed with turkey meat and some spices, and that was dinner last night.
And isn't it amazing? I mean, it didn't have to take too much to make that something you really enjoy.
That was a $6 dinner, really.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, my breakfast every morning costs me next to nothing. And, you know, I have it, it's easily available. It's something that I enjoy eating. But, you know, one of the things I think that people have to do is they do have to invest a little bit of time to kind of shift over what they, you know, are used to doing before. And at the same time, you may have to kind of acknowledge that your palate right away may not jump at the fact of, oh, I'm eating something that's relatively healthy. But like everything else, if you give it a chance and you kind of gradually work over, you know, you'll find that things taste much better than they might have just a few weeks or months ago.
Dr. Jim Schrader joining us this morning here on Morning Air, and this is new research from a brand new book called A Better Brain. It's literally, you are what you eat, and we're talking about eating healthy. 888-914-9149. How do you eat healthy? What have you done? Have you made changes in your diet, and how has that affected you and your family? 888-914-9149. And yeah, we'll take some healthy recipes here this morning, too, if you can do it in five ingredients or less. 888-914-9149. Kids in the school system, the last year has been very difficult because of remote learning. And of course, kids in many places, especially in inner cities, and those kids who don't have a lot of means, their main form of nutrition is coming from the school system. But as we just kind of expand that shot to kids overall, how can we start them on a path to healthy eating when it's easy to just give them a juice box, fill them with sugar, just to give them all of these things that can really set the template for bad eating for the rest of their lives?
Well, you know what? I think one of the first things we can do, and I think it's really important, is we start with the information that we give them. And it's amazing how even the kids that we have at our, you know, my kids at home, my four-year-old is even talking about, he knows what protein, of course, it's very limited in understanding. But here's one of the pieces of information I think people don't realize. So if you look at our brain is only about 2% of our body weight. But it utilizes a minimum of 20%, and some believe more than like 40%, of all the oxygen and nutrients available that we take in. And so at the same time, our brain, all the blood in our body, 1/6 of it is flowing through our brain at any given time. And what, you know, Bonnie, what Dr. Kaplan talks about is that the brain is a needy, greedy organ. So we need to teach our kids that what they eat actually has more impact on their brain than any other part of their body. And I think that's something that if you asked 100 kids, like, what you eat, how does that affect you? They would say, oh, well, it makes your muscles stronger. Or, you know, it helps your heart, which is all, of course, true. But it's actually the brain that is impacted most by our nutrition. And so before we even, you know, set the table, I think to set the table literally, we have to set the table with information for our kids to start thinking about, like, oh, yeah, what I'm eating here is has to do with how I think and how I feel and all of those things.
Reading healthy this morning, 888-914-9149. How do you eat healthy? Do you have a healthy recipe? Dr. Jim Schrader with empirical evidence from this brand new book, The Better Brain, on how eating better makes you function better as well. 888-914-9149. I'll give you my easy. Here's a recipe. And this is my easy. This is my five ingredient pizza. And you think, well, how could pizza possibly be healthy? And so I'll get some high, I get, you know, the high fiber, low carb whole wheat tortillas. That's the pizza crust, quote unquote. Throw that in the oven, 425 for 2-3 minutes. Just brown that a little bit. Take it out. A little bit of low-sodium marinara sauce. I'll do some crushed red pepper, just a little bit to taste, because I don't like it that spicy. And then put some fresh spinach on top, a couple of cups. Chop it up. And then the part-skim mozzarella cheese back into the oven. You see when the cheese is melted, bam, it's out. It's 220 calories.
And it sounds wonderful. And you know what's amazing is I think that when you start, like you talk about it, and you really talk about the process of what you're doing, right? The more you get into it, I would never go back to ultra-processed foods or the kind of diet I ate before, because I find so much more joy in the food I eat now. And that's something I want to convey to your listeners, is that once you start eating this way and you start really seeing that not just that food can taste great, but the tremendous benefits, you know, the tremendous gift that food is, you really never want to go back. I mean, I it's not that I every now and then don't, you know, splurge on pizza or ice cream or whatever else. That's totally fine. And you know what? I think we want to say to your listeners, if in general, if you're eating an 80% healthy diet, you know, 20% of it, you can kind of splurge a little bit. But once you go and you really see food for the natural gift it is that, you know, God gives us, right, I really just don't think you want to go back.
Do you ever have a bag of potato chips?
Do I? You know what's interesting? I will eat chips every now and then, maybe Sun Chips or something like that. But you're going to think I'm funny or really kind of strange. I crave a huge salad full of everything I can put natural on top of it more than anything else. And I just, over the years, my kids give me a hard time because I eat salads about the size of my head.
Yeah.
But I just load everything natural I can think of that's really good, and I just, you know, have a natural kind of salad dressing I've created, and I really, really, my wife and I both crave that as much as anything else.
What's in your natural salad dressing?
So you know what it is? It's really simple. It's three ingredients. Olive oil, whatever kind of vinegar, like sometimes I'll go between apple cider vinegar or just kind of different ones, and then salt, just a little bit of salt, and that's it. And okay. So I just kind of mix that together. A lot of times I'll just pour it over top of the salad, and that kind of, it works.
And we need all of that in our diets. Now, you could joke right, that, you know, you can go to a fast food joint and get, you know, proteins, fat, and some carbohydrates, but probably not in the right ratio that you should be having. But all of those really are the three pillars of what a healthy diet is.
Yep. And, you know, one of the things she talks about in the book is the difference between macronutrients and micronutrients. And I think it's worth defining here. So macronutrients are kind of the major categories of food, like proteins and fats and carbohydrates. And actually, in North America, few people are really lacking in what macronutrients are. But micronutrients, kind of for the purpose of discussion here, are what we think of as vitamins, minerals, and essential fatty acids. And so while most people are getting plenty of macronutrients in this country, few people are actually getting the micronutrients at the level they need for good brain functioning and mental health. And that's the essence of where we're focusing here, is on, you know, micronutrient consumption.
Dr. Jim is one of those early risers, not by choice, but this lovely job we have in radio often requires that. I have learned over the years, it's not as much the matter, the amount of sleep I have, as kind of what I eat that might determine the amount of energy. I've found that to be very interesting. But along those lines, can we get away with eating some of the bad stuff earlier in the day as opposed to later in the evening, so that our body at least has a chance to wear it off?
Well, you know, it's a good question, and I think there's differences of opinions. I would say that, you know, when your body has kind of fasted through the evening or through the sleep state, it is probably a time where you want to, you know, give it the kind of micronutrients as much as possible to energize your day. I mean, some would think that, yeah, you have time to burn off certain calories more if you eat it in the morning, and there may be some truth, but it's kind of what, you know, you want to feed yourself the most, so that you have a mental clarity and you have the energy and everything else for the rest of the day. But you said something there I really want to emphasize, and that is that I think, you know, when you look at our pillars of health, and there's really three major ones, we talk about sleep, and we talk about activity level and exercise, and we talk about diet. One of the points that, you know, Dr. Kaplan and myself make is that of the three, the nutrition is actually the most accessible one, right? You know, many people would love to exercise more, but they deal with a lot of, let's say, orthopedic concerns or cardiac concerns, or maybe they're paralyzed, right? And they're not able to exercise the way they want. Many people would love to sleep better, but even when they prioritize it, you know, they may struggle to kind of, like, you know, stay asleep at night. But our nutrition is actually one of the most malleable, changeable things that we do in regards to our health. And so no matter who you are, even though I know there are certain barriers, nutrition really is the best avenue for good health and ultimately good brain functioning.
Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. We're taking care of that temple with what we eat and the new information from groundbreaking researchers in the Better Brain and what we affect, what we eat, how it affects our mental health. Dr. Jim Schrader guiding us through that. And we're sharing healthy recipe ideas, how you've learned how to eat healthy. Maybe you're on the path to that. You need some help. 888-914-9149. Alicia's in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Alicia, you've got a recipe for us this morning. Welcome to Morning Air. Hi, Alicia. Are you there? Okay, we'll put Alicia on hold. Let's go to Charles. Hey, Charles, good morning. How do you eat healthy?
I had a problem with irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah?
And it caused a lot of pain because, I won't go into details.
Not sure, that's really difficult. Yeah, so you really have to amend your diet. So how did you learn how to eat healthy?
Okay, the doctor prescribed what's called a FODMAP diet, FODMAP, and it made a miraculous change. First of all, almost immediately, my intestinal problem with pain and so on went away. But it made me feel better, and it's just like your guest is saying, the food tasted better, and it's mostly fruit, vegetables, and you can also eat any meat you want. But you give up the sauces,
mm-hmm.
Wheat-free, it's dairy-free, and it sounds, that's very restricting. I can't eat bread. Well, you can eat bread if it has rice flour.
Okay, yeah.
Little changes like that.
Sure.
And all the food, no sauce, and the food tastes, the vegetables and fruit are delicious. And I would have never believed that would be the case.
But yeah, isn't that something when that happens, Dr. Jim, again, and it's just using spices and also back to what they say is reading labels, as Charles said, you know, rice flour as opposed to white flour, whole wheat flour, as opposed to white flour, and how your body processes that.
Yeah, there's a simple rule of thumb. If you look at the ingredients on something that you're eating and you basically don't know what it is, in essence, it's really hard to read, or it's just clearly it's not coming from, you know, an animal or a plant.
Right.
And you really pretty much know it's processed. That's a simple rule of thumb.
Right.
So what you're looking for is either a completely whole food, like banana, right, or something like that, or you're looking for foods that have clear ingredients that come from natural foods themselves. And that kind of simplifies it for everybody. And at the end of the day, if we all strove to just eat whole food, natural food, and drink as much water, we would be in such a better place.
Oh, the water thing. I'm not good at drinking water. You got to drink a lot of water. Oh, that's where I get tripped up. Alicia is in New Jersey this morning with a recipe for us. Hi, Alicia. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. I have two young grandchildren and summer's approaching and the one is teething. So what we did was take a banana, cut it in half and put a popsicle stick in it and freeze it so the children have frozen bananas, and also smoothies in the morning for everybody, organic strawberries, blueberries, everything that's in season now with baby kale, spinach, yogurt, and some carrots. Throw it in the blender, and it's a delicious smoothie. And then you can also freeze them in the pop molds, for the silicone pop molds for the children. So it's working out really well. And we usually I buy things in season, wash them, lay them on a cookie sheet, freeze them, and then drop them into freezer bags individually. They freeze individually. So you could just scoop stuff out during the, you know, off season of these delicious organic fruits and vegetables.
Alicia,
that's all I have.
Alicia's figured it out, huh? Hasn't she, Dr. Jim?
Oh, I love those ideas. Aren't those great? And, you know, back to the smoothie, I'm glad she brought that up. Boy, you want to talk about a great way to start the morning. And you can just kind of like I mentioned about my huge salads where I throw everything in. Smoothies, you can do it completely natural. You can have tons of produce. And, you know, honestly, for those who've, like she's describing, when you eat it, it tastes really good. And so, you know, you bury kale in there. You never even know it if you don't like kale, but you've already gotten servings of your vegetables and fruit, and that's wonderful.
And the more ice you throw in, Alicia, the more it's like a real thick milkshake. And, you know, you think that you think that you're cheating, but everything that you have is good. Do you need two extra grandchildren? Glenn and I would be more than happy to come over for the summer and enjoy some of that food, Alicia. That sounds great. So you can think about that and call us back. Okay, thanks, Alicia. Lucia is in Mount Prospect, Illinois this morning as we talk about how what we eat affects our mental health with Dr. Jim Schrader. Hi, Lucia. Welcome to Morning Air. What are you doing to eat healthy?
Hi. So I have a large crowd to feed every night. I have 9 kids, plus my mother-in-law lives with us.
Wow.
And over the years, you know, I always felt especially guilty cooking pasta because I know the ingredients just aren't great, but it was a cheap meal. And so this summer, a friend of mine put together a Zoom wellness group. We've had a number of different kind of guests from the area. So we had someone, Chef Bo from Clean Kitchen in LaGrange, who taught us the value of purchasing imported products from Italy, such as pasta, tomato sauce, coffee, which are a lot less processed than our American products are.
Mm-hmm.
So
that sounds awesome.
Kind of great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. And even in cooking for 9, if you do it wisely, you don't have to break the bank. And that's another important part of this is that, you know, just, you know, eating healthy and making those just adjustments, that fine tuning in your diet is not only going to have the brain function better, Dr. Jim, but it'll probably have the wallet functioning better.
It does. You know, again, we have 10 in our house. We have 8 kids and my wife and I, and you think, oh my gosh, you know, that's eating healthy has got to be ridiculously expensive. But honestly, it's not. I mean, we're always going to spend money with that many kids. But when you think about not just, you know, the food costs, I mean, we don't eat out a whole lot. We buy, again, things naturally when we can, and we buy them at, you know, stores or make it much easier. But the other thing you have to remember is, what about the medical costs that follow, right?
Right.
What about the immunity that we know builds better with good nutrition? Those are the unseen costs that people don't think about often when you're buying the cheap foods. So you think, oh, well, cheap foods is cheaper. Well, actually, again, it's not over the long term. And so I think one of the things that was neat about your last guest that I really liked is that they had a group. They got together, and one of the things they celebrated was just good food, right? Because, you know, if you think about it, isn't it amazing that God created us to do something, and by that I mean eat, something that we had to do to live, that could be so enjoyable, so pleasurable, that we would really look forward to doing it. And so I think that that's something I want we all think is that it's not that we're saying like, oh, don't eat this, you know, bad foods, or we're trying to, you know, keep you away from what you want to do. It's that we're saying, like, let's celebrate this gift
right.
that God gives us.
It is. Yeah.
It is a great gift, and let's just use it. I mean, the joy that it gives us and the life that it gives us, let's let that flourish. Let's kind of promote that in our families and our communities, and no longer look at eating healthy as something we do begrudgingly, but actually something that we're really excited about. That's where I think we really need to go.
And how eating healthy affects not only our mental, but our spiritual health as well. Dr. Jim Schrader is a married father of 8 children, a pediatric psychologist, and an endurance athlete, sharing the expertise of this brand new book called The Better Brain. Dr. Jim, thank you. God bless.
God bless. Thank you.
When you bless yourself, you're talking about the Holy Trinity right there. Did you ever think about that? I'm sure you have. St. Patrick actually said, well, look, the Trinity in a shamrock. We're going to talk about the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity coming up this Sunday, and that's with Father Jim Kibicki coming up in just a couple of minutes here on Morning Air, right after we hear today's gospel reading. And in the gospel, Jesus heals a blind man. It's from the 10th chapter of Mark on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you. He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man replied to him, Master, I want to see. Jesus told him, go your way, your faith has saved you. Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way.
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
The most meaningful and joyful half hour of prayer you could imagine.
I'd like to pray for my parents because tonight is their 20th wedding anniversary.
And you guys are home alone without your parents.
Yeah.
The happiest half hour of your day.
Well, I'm hungry. Yeah. I'm going to have dinner later.
Yeah, well, don't talk about it. It'll make you more hungry.
Well, that's good advice, Roy.
The Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky.
Happy birthday.
Oh, that was sweet. You.
7 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
Have you ever let fear make a decision for you? Well, the saint we honor today, Augustine of Canterbury, almost did. Hello, I'm Father James Kubicki, director of St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in South Dakota, with a reflection about this missionary who was sent by Pope St. Gregory the Great to bring the Christian faith to England around the year 600. Augustine was a monk in Rome, and the Pope sent him along with 30 of his fellow monks to evangelize England. But as they waited for a ship to take them across the English Channel and heard the stories of the fierce Anglo-Saxon people who lived there, they became afraid. Augustine went all the way back to Rome to confer with the Holy Father, who assured him that God would be with the missionaries and their work of spreading the faith. And so it happened. Augustine returned to his brothers. They sailed across the channel, met King Ethelbert, and the land quickly converted to Christianity. Fear did not prevail. God's grace and power did. Years later, Pope Gregory the Great wrote the following in a letter to St. Augustine. God chose illiterate preachers and sent them into the world to show the world that conversion is brought about not by human wisdom, but rather by his power. So in like manner, God worked through weak instruments and wrought great things among the Angles. Dear brother, in this heavenly gift, there is something which should inspire us with great joy. For I know through your love for that people, specially chosen for you, that a mighty God has performed great miracles.
Listen to more of Father James Kubicki's daily reflections by downloading the free Relevant Radio app.
Powered by you.
Powered by you.
This is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
I was baptized, confirmed, First Holy Communion in prison, due in large part to Relevant Radio. I just want to say thank you to you and all of your listeners that support Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio.
I'm not a Catholic, but the influence of your radio station is really drawing me closer.
Backed by your prayers and your generosity, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio, bringing Christ to the world through the media.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
29 before on Morning Air on Relevant Radio, the Relevant Radio app. Good morning, it's John and Glenn. Glenn's got a fresh story corner coming up later in this half hour. St. Patrick used a shamrock to help people better appreciate this mystery. When you and I bless ourselves, we show our belief to this mystery. We're talking about devotion to the Holy Trinity. Sunday is the Feast of the Holy Trinity. Let's look at this mystery of our faith right now with Father James Kubicki, a member of our family here on Relevant Radio. Father is a Jesuit priest, and you'll hear him with his daily prayer reflections on Relevant Radio. He's also the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in Western South Dakota. Hi, Father.
Hello there, John and Glenn. Good to be with you today as we anticipate the great feast of the Most Holy Trinity on Sunday. And so I thought this would be a good topic for us to reflect on, because many people are, let's say, afraid of this feast. Many priests I know are afraid to preach on this feast because...
Why?
It seems so much above them, or they feel this doesn't have much practical implications for people, and you know, they think they have to explain the mystery, and that's where I think we step off on the wrong foot, because mysteries are not things that we can explain. They're not things that if we get enough clues, we can solve them. You know, we often think of mysteries of our faith as we do murder mysteries or other kinds of crime novels, which if the person just gets enough clues, they'll get to the bottom of it. But we'll never get to the bottom of a mystery like the Most Holy Trinity, because it's beyond our comprehension as human beings. I think it was Saint Anselm who said, he said that I don't understand in order to believe, but I believe in order to understand better. And basically, that's what we're talking about, is going deeper into this mystery. And as you mentioned, that's what St. Patrick tried to do with the people of Ireland when he went there as a missionary, by showing them the shamrock and saying, just as the shamrock is one shamrock but three, so God is one God but three persons within this communion of love. And so it's a mystery of our faith that I think is so important but is so often overlooked, even though every time we begin our prayers, we begin them recognizing this great mystery, because we begin our prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Well, doesn't this mystery also make our faith grow stronger? I would think, just as a layman, that would be a peg for a homily if priests find it difficult to preach on the Feast of the Holy Trinity. It makes our faith stronger.
That's right, and that's where I think the practical implication comes in, is to say that God is a communion of persons. God is love, as St. John wrote in his first letter. And as I anticipate preaching this Sunday, I'm thinking of the mystery. How does this apply to humanity? Well, the first book of the Bible says in Genesis that God created humanity in God's own image and likeness. And so God is this mystery of persons, this communion. And it's not three alienated, separated persons in one. It's a communion of love. And if you think about it, we're made in the image and likeness of love. In other words, we're made not to be at war with one another, not to hate one another, not to be in conflict with one another, but to be in communion of love with one another. That's something that Cardinal Ratzinger, and later Pope, known as Pope Benedict XVI, often said, is that the church is not an institution, but it's a communion. And in that sense, we're called to reflect to the world that God is love, and that we, his children, are also in a communion of love with one another, and desire love for our world and peace in our world.
Father James Kubicki with us this morning here on Morning Air. Sunday is the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity, and you and I show our belief in and devotion to the Blessed Trinity every time we make the sign of the cross. And this was only a couple of days ago, I think it was starting night prayer, where I made a second sign of the cross, because it dawned on me the first one wasn't good enough. And that's really something that we should think about, is how we make that sign of the cross. It's not just a motion we go through.
That's a great point, John, because so often it's such a common prayer of ours, we don't even think of it as a prayer. We just do it by routine. And, you know, I think as we all try to grow deeper in our prayer, we can begin with those simple steps. As we genuflect coming into church, as we make the sign of the cross before our prayers, or when we bless our food, we make the sign of the cross. I think it's good for us to do it slowly, reverently, thoughtfully, and in that way, we turn a simple prayer like the sign of the cross into a prayer, and not just something that we recite or go through the motions. And maybe some of our listeners have ideas on that. You know, how do you have advice for all of us on how to make the sign of the cross in a meaningful way and not to just go through the motions. Or maybe some of our listeners have a deep devotion to the Most Holy Trinity. How did that come about? You know, where did you first begin to really feel the importance of this mystery of our faith, this part of our doctrine, our dogma, and what does it mean to you today to say that God is one and God is three, that we believe in a Holy Trinity, which is so different, and many of our non-Christian brothers and sisters just, you know, do not understand. They think that we believe in three gods, and we don't. We believe in one God, but God who's a communion of persons.
Let's share those stories this morning with Father James Kubicki here on Morning Air. Our number is 888-914-9149. I'll get the number right after all these years. Do you have any advice on how to make the sign of the cross? How do you do that in a meaningful way and not just go through the motions and also a devotion to the Most Holy Trinity? What is it for you in your faith life? 888-914-9149. Providential that we're having this conversation on the week after Pentecost, because we have talked a great deal in the last couple of weeks about our devotion to the Holy Spirit. And when I think of the Holy Trinity and I pray to the Holy Trinity, my focus a little bit more, this is just me, is on the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and you know, one of the great elements of the faith that different theologians have brought out to us is that the Father loves the Son with an infinite love, and the Son returns that love to the Father, loves the Father with an infinite love, and that love between them is the Holy Spirit. And so if we think about that we have received the Holy Spirit in baptism, we have the love of the Father for the Son, the love of the Son for the Father. We have the Holy Spirit within us, helping us to love God and to be in a relationship with the Father just the way Jesus was in a relationship with the Father. I like to say that if we really understood that we were children of God and that God looks on us because we're members of the body of Christ, God the Father looks on us with the same love with which he looks on his Son, if we really appreciated that, we would never have any sense of a lack of self-worth. We would not have a bad self-image, because we would know ourselves as beloved sons and daughters of the Father who loves us with that same infinite love with which he loves his own beloved Son.
Well, I think one of the benefits of being a convert is that doing all the automatic Catholic things, you have to stop and think first, especially if you converted as an adult, where we don't memorize stuff as quickly. But whether it be the Hail Mary or the sign of the cross, you're kind of thinking about it as you're doing it. And I think making the sign of the cross and just saying, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in your head helps you slow down enough to think about that.
That's really true, Glenn. An interesting thing for me was when I spent time in a Ukrainian Byzantine Catholic monastery, and the way our Eastern brothers and sisters, Eastern Christian brothers and sisters, make the sign of the cross, they do it in reverse. Now, we would see it as reverse. They would say that we're doing it in reverse. And in other words, they start in the name of the Father and of the Son, and they touch their chest. And instead of going to the left the way we do, they go to the right, and then they go to the left. And learning, you know, doing that in the Ukrainian Byzantine Catholic monastery made me slow down and think about what I was actually doing. So that, you know, we're praying with our whole body when we make the sign of the cross. We're not just saying the words routinely, but we have to really think about it and how we sign ourselves, not only in the sign of the cross of Jesus, where we make the cross over ourselves, but also with that belief in the faith that God is three and God is one. So you're right, Glenn. There are certain things that can help us pause and think about it a little more than we normally do.
As we get ready for the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity on Sunday, our conversation with Father James Kubicki this morning is how we show our belief and our devotion in the Blessed Trinity every time we make the sign of the cross. Do you do that with reverence? 888-914-9149. Also, in addition to advice on making the sign of the cross in any meaningful way, do you have a devotion to the Most Holy Trinity? We're sharing your stories this morning at 888-914-9149. Maureen's in Aurora, Illinois. Maureen, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Father Kubicki.
Good morning. Thank you both. Thanks for having me.
Sure, go ahead. Now, talk about when did you really learn your devotion to the Holy Trinity? Did that come from grandparents, your mom?
My mom. So my mom being from Belfast, Northern Ireland, so that the shamrock, of course, was a very important way in which it was for her, our culture, the Irish culture. But when I asked my mom as a young child how she would explain the Holy Trinity, she said it very simply, you know, your father is a father, he's a brother, and he's a son, but he's one person. And that was a very, very simplistic way for me to understand the Holy Trinity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Maureen, you know, what you bring up is really important, because one way of thinking about the Trinity is in terms of how God relates to humanity, that God is both a father and a son and a spirit. And another way of thinking about it, too, is that God, as the Father, is for us, like any father is for his son or daughter. And God, as the second person of the Trinity, God is with us. In the scriptures, we hear that God, the Son, is Jesus. His name is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And then when we think about the Holy Spirit and the relationship of the Holy Spirit to us, we see that God is within us, because we're temples of the Holy Spirit. So as Father, God is for us. As Son, God is with us. And as Holy Spirit, God is actually within us. And so you bring up a good point that you learned from your mother, Maureen, that part of the way of thinking about the Trinity is how the Trinity relates to us as well. So thanks for that thought.
Maureen, God bless. Thanks for listening in Aurora, Illinois this morning with Father James Kubicki, ahead of the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. We're talking about your devotion to the Holy Trinity, and maybe there's a particular person of the three that you pray to more often than not also in making that sign of the cross in a very meaningful way. We're not just going through the motions, but we're showing our devotion to the Most Holy Trinity. How do you do that? We're sharing that this morning, 888-914-9149. More of your calls coming up here. Our time now at 16 before on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And I often say, if you've had abortion, I always want to remind you how much you're loved by God and how deep and profound His mercy is and how He wants you to have it and how there is healing if you made that mistake.
Please join Relevant Radio in our hourly Memorare campaign for an end to abortion and the protection of human life from conception to natural death. Our next goal is 400 million memorares. Add your memoirs for life at relevantradio.com.
This is Bishop Thomas Olmsted of the Diocese of Phoenix. Let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come. Before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
The Most Reverend Salvatore J. Corleone, Archbishop of San Francisco, has released a deeply moving and important letter to the souls under his pastoral care, titled, Before I Formed You in the Womb, I Knew You. It fosters the human dignity of the unborn, Holy Communion, and Catholics in public life. Read this letter at inthewomb.org. inthewomb.org. A message of support from the Archdiocese of San Francisco.
Underwriting by John Paul the Great Catholic University. John Paul the Great Catholic University in Southern California is dedicated to impacting culture for Christ through creative arts and business innovation. Cultivate your God-given talents in a supportive, Christ-centered community as you train to become a filmmaker, writer, actor, entrepreneur, animator, illustrator, or game designer. Where will your JP Catholic education take you? Explore all our programs and receive a full application fee waiver at jpcatholic.edu/radio.
Are you a merciful person? Someone who shows mercy to others? Are you clean of heart? Are you poor in spirit? These are some of those categories that Jesus talks about in the Beatitudes. Hi, this is Josh Raymond. And today on The Inner Life, we're going to talk about the Beatitudes, understanding them and living them out each day. The Inner Life, today at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Before on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, if you made the sign of the cross this morning, you showed your devotion to the Blessed Trinity. Sunday is the feast of the Most Blessed Trinity. And sometimes if you've caught yourself going through the motions of making that sign of the cross, how do you make that sign of the cross in a more meaningful way? And we're also talking about your devotion to the Most Holy Trinity. And perhaps there's one of the persons of the three that you pray to more often than not. 888-914-9149. Our guest is Father James Kubicki this morning, and that's our topic ahead of the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity on Sunday. Katie's joining us in Appleton, Wisconsin. Katie, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air.
Morning.
Sure. Talk about, do you make the, is there a special prayer that you have? Is there a special way that you do the sign of the cross or special devotion you have to any member of the Most Holy Trinity?
Well, I kind of have a devotion with the Holy Spirit, but I'm calling about a lovely kind of habit I learned from my kindergarten teacher. Anytime a siren went off and we heard it, she would have us say the sign of the cross as a little prayer for those who are going into a situation and for those who are part of the situation, the emergency responders and for the victims and all.
Right. Okay, Katie, that's a great reminder. You know, I know some people who, when they hear a siren go by or when they know that somebody is in trouble, they make it a prayer. They might pray a Hail Mary. Or, as you point out, your kindergarten teacher taught you all to pray the most simple prayer, the sign of the cross, for that situation or the people involved. I know people, too, who every time they pass a church, because our Lord is present there in the tabernacle, they make the sign of the cross as they pass by a church. Or when they go past a cemetery, they make the sign of the cross as a prayer for all the people who are buried there, asking for their perpetual peace. So, Katie, that's a great reminder how we can use that sign of the cross as a simple prayer for any kind of intention, especially for people who are in need. Thanks for the call.
Katie, thank you. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. St. Ignatius of Loyola, what was his devotion to the Holy Trinity, Father Kubicki?
Oh, he had a great devotion. He would reflect on the Trinity. He would think about it, and it would bring him to tears. And one of the images that he was given in his prayer was of three keys in an organ, and that each of the keys would be played, and together they created this beautiful music, this harmony. And so that was one of the images that he used. Now, of course, all these images, like St. Patrick with the shamrock and the keys of an organ, are physical images, and they don't ultimately explain this mystery, but they are a way of appreciating it, and I wouldn't say ultimately understanding it, but appreciating the depth of the mystery. And so whatever can help us in that appreciation, I think is a gift from God. It's a grace, just as it was for St. Ignatius Loyola.
If in 30 seconds you had to make the quote-unquote elevator speech to explain to someone why you have blessed yourself, say it's in a restaurant, what would you say? And what should we say in 30 seconds to explain the mystery of the Holy Trinity?
Whoa, you put me on the spot, John. I think I would explain it by saying that this is my faith. This is my faith, and I want to, before I bless my food, I bless myself, because food is a blessing that God has given us. So I'm receiving this blessing and recognizing that it came from God. That would be my elevator speech.
That's beautiful. Barbara's in Massachusetts this morning ahead of the Feast of the Holy Trinity, and we're talking about how we show our devotion when we make the sign of the cross. And do you do that with greater intention? Maybe you will after this conversation with Father James Kubicki, also your devotion to the Holy Trinity. Barbara, good morning. How do you pray to the Holy Trinity? Welcome to Morning Air.
Yes, good morning to both of you and Father. I read in a book a long time ago, and I just started doing this maybe a year and a half ago, that our Blessed Mother said that if we said three Hail Marys to the Blessed Trinity at night, we would be protected from the evil spirits and demons all throughout the night, protect us from sin, harm, and danger. And that if we, in the morning, when we say the three Hail Marys in honor of the Most Blessed Trinity, we would be protected all day long from the wickedness and snares of the devil. So I do that at night, you know, and I say my night prayers, and I ask our Blessed Mother and the Blessed Trinity to protect not only me, but my husband and my children and our little grandson, you know, from that. So I do this now every night before going to bed, and I fall asleep so peacefully, you know, and I even ask Our Lady to protect me in my dreams from any, you know, things of the evil spirits or sins or anything like that. So that's what I've been doing, and it gives me so much peace. And I have a very deep devotion also to the Holy Spirit. Every morning I invoke the Holy Spirit. I found a little prayer in a book, and then I add my own, "Come, Holy Spirit, come, my mind, my body, and my soul." And I ask the Holy Spirit to think through me, pray through me, live through me, love through me, to control my thoughts, words, prayers, actions, emotions, and my whole life, take over my whole life. And I ask also to be protected. I mean, as we're getting older, I ask the Holy Spirit to think through me. And, you know, as we get older, you become a little forgetful. I get scared. Every time, you know, I have like I'm thinking about something, I'm going, oh, I can't recall it or something. It comes like in a split second from the Holy Spirit. Time after time after time, I'm able to recall things, or if I'm thinking, oh, you know, what did I come in here for? It comes immediately.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is so powerful in my life.
But you're on fire for the Holy Spirit, Barbara. We love that.
Yes, it's beautiful. And Barbara, you know, that prayer before going to bed, the three Hail Marys in honor of the Blessed Trinity, it's a great reminder that we can invite the Lord to protect us at night and in our dreams, especially if we're stressed out and we might have anxiety dreams, even if we wake up with such a dream, to immediately pray about that and turn to God. And I would also point out, Barbara, that you bring up a good point that Mary is related to the Holy Trinity in a unique way. It's been said that Mary is the daughter of the Father, she's the mother of the Son, and she's the spouse of the Holy Spirit, because it was the Holy Spirit who came upon her, and then she became pregnant with our blessed Lord. So she's the daughter, mother, and spouse, and so she has a very special relationship to the Holy Trinity. And so praying to her and praying those three Hail Marys is another good way to show our devotion to the Most Holy Trinity.
Barbara, thanks for listening in Massachusetts on Relevant Radio 1150. Let's go down to Corpus Christi, Texas, as we talk about devotion to the Holy Trinity. Cecilia, you're a director of religious education. You've got a song to tell us about.
Yes, it's an awesome song that we sing with the children. So one of the first lessons we start with at the beginning of the year is, of course, on the Holy Trinity. And it's a beautiful song we teach the children. And then, can I sing it real quickly?
Please.
Sure. Okay, so it goes like this. Got the Father and got the Son. Got the Holy Spirit, three rolled into one. God is all-knowing and Jesus teaches love. Holy Spirit gives us power sent from God above. And the children just love it and they learn it. And then we have a teacher that just loves to teach us about the Holy Trinity. And she always tells them, boys and girls, we're not swatting flies. You got to take your time and, you know, teaches them really reverently how to do the sign of the cross. So just wanted to share that with our fellow catechists.
Well, that's great, Cecilia, because, you know, this is where, you know, the faith is passed on. If parents, teachers, grandparents, to teach our kids, and kids are, I mean, songs are so important to children. It's a great way for them to remember the mysteries of our faith. So that's great advice. We'll have to make sure that we get those lyrics to the song, or maybe we'll record that, and then people can use that in their own classes. Thank you, Cecilia.
That's awesome, Cecilia. Cecilia. Thank you so much. And it's a new song for Glenn to learn on the accordion as well. We appreciate that. Thank you. And Father Kubicki, thank you for leading us in this great conversation. Of course, Sunday is the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. And this is the last opportunity that you and I will have, at least on the radio, to speak, because starting next Tuesday, it's a brand new edition of Morning Air with a new host and a whole new sound. It's going to be very exciting, because just like anything, the Holy Spirit is guiding us and always growing us in our faith lives. And the same thing applies here on the radio, too. So be listening for that starting Tuesday morning, June 1st, with a brand new host. So tomorrow's my last day. So I just want to thank you for all of what you've taught me. And I know I'm speaking for our Relevant Radio family, Father Kubicki, and how we've learned and grown through your spiritual direction.
Well, thank you, John, and I'm gonna miss you, and we'll certainly stay in touch off the radio. Sounds
absolutely
good, huh?
And I'll stay in touch with you on the radio, of course, Father Kubicki, with his daily prayer reflections here on Relevant Radio. Father is the director of the St. Francis Mission on the Rosebud Reservation in western South Dakota. Thanks, Father.
You're welcome. God bless you. Goodbye.
Our time now is 2 minutes before the hour. Patrick Madrid coming up at 8 a.m. Central, 6 a.m. Pacific. But right now it's time for today's Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today, called Pressure Forms Diamonds. Diamonds are formed under great pressure and heat. If these conditions do not exist, they simply do not form. It's not that they'll be low quality or smaller in size. They will not form. God brings his refining fire into our lives to create in us what he sees fit. When he sees our lack of character, he'll bring into our lives what we need. So next time a fiery trial comes, thank God. He's producing exactly what he knows you need in your life. The only difference between a diamond and a piece of coal, after all, is pressure. Romans 5:3-5. We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint.
The Glenn Story Corner podcast is on our continuously updated Relevant Radio app. And if you have a story for Glenn, morningair@relevantradio.com. That's morningair@relevantradio.com. Coming up tomorrow, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti will join us live from Washington, D.C., and he is a licensed psychologist. And one of the things that has come out of the pandemic, and maybe it's affected you or a member of your family, is depression. Depression is through the roof. And Monsignor also has some brand new evidence, and you'll hear it first on Morning Air tomorrow morning, about how the pandemic and depression has affected priests as well. What you and I can do about it, not only in our family, but in addition to praying for our priests, what is being done to help them as well. Plus, we'll take your prayer intentions. That's tomorrow on Morning Air. Stand by for Patrick Madrid coming up next. It's a minute before the hour now here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.